The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I just don't know where to start the show today. Every now and again, this happens. I don't know what it is. I just can't figure out where do we want to start the conversation here on the Todd Starnes radio program. First of all, welcome, everybody. What an honor to have you with us today. And, you know, after yesterday's show, Grace Baker, you know what? There was something very interesting that happened after yesterday's program. And we talk about the big issues of the day. Let me stop here. Is Avery with us already? I know Avery's out. We always have him running errands during the show. But do we have Avery with us?
Yes, we do.
I'm right here.
Hi, Avery. How are you? By the way, I'm on like multiple tangents right now. So, Avery, we have to remind everybody that not only am I going to be at the big book signing in Gainesville, Georgia, but you are as well.
Yes, I will be.
So we've got to make sure that everybody gets out to the big book signing next week, next Thursday, at the Smokehouse Barbecue in Gainesville. We've got to have a huge crowd because this is the big kickoff for our radio affiliate tour.
Yeah.
So you've got to do your part.
I'm very excited.
You got to do your part, Avery. Got to do your part.
Okay. I'll sign some babies if you want me to.
No, that's kiss the babies. Sign the books. Kiss the babies. Okay. Sign the books.
Don't get the two mixed up.
We'll work on it. We're going to have a training session. Anyway, yesterday on this program, we just have a quirky radio show. Is that okay to say? I think everybody sort of knows that already.
Yep.
But we acknowledge our quirkiness and we embrace it.
Got to own it.
We've got to own it.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only conservative talk radio show noon to three. And I'm not disparaging any of our competitors. We're the only conservative talk radio show who can talk about, you know, who can do an interview with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and then talk about where to get the best chili dog in America. We're the only people doing that.
We're quite diverse.
We're very diverse here. And inclusive. Dare I say inclusive. So all that to say, after yesterday's program, I get all these messages from program directors who carry the show. And they say, Todd, this was the best show you guys have done. We love, and I'm like, oh, wow, they must have loved Mike Huckabee. They must have loved the interviews. No, they were talking about the chili dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome.
Because that's the stuff that sticks with people.
One of our program directors sent me a note and said, you know, Todd, every now and again, you can talk about politics so much, you just got to talk about chili dogs.
Yep.
And guess what today is, ladies and gentlemen? It is National Hot Dog Day.
What a coincidence.
Oh, yay.
What a blessing. So, Avery, you have permission to go to the Collegiate and order as many, chili slaw dogs as you would like.
Oh, yeah. Avery missed
as many
our
as
combo
I can stomach
yesterday.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So now...
We had an entire conversation on where to find the best, not just the best hot dog, but now we have to open it up, the best hot dog in America. The best hot dog in America. So, yeah, we're going to talk about all the big stuff going on, but today, in honor of National Hot Dog Day, we are going to invite you to call in and tell us where can we find the best hot dogs in America. Grace, you are going to have to compile this list, and we will publish the list on the website.
I'm on it.
Now, the Doghouse in Hendersonville, North Carolina, we have to add that to the list.
Already
and I'm
on
only
there.
Doing that based on the recommendation of our Hendersonville listeners. But also, you got to put the Collegiate.
The Collegiate. Got it.
You got to put the Collegiate on there in Gainesville, Georgia. So anyway, we'll go ahead and throw out the telephone number here, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I do want to start with an item from the Southern Baptist Convention. And this is a big deal. And again, it's almost as if we have to condition people to understand this. But religious liberty is the most important issue facing our nation. This is why the country is right now going to hell in a handbasket. And primarily because the Southern Baptist Convention and their leadership have gone full-blown woke, and they have embraced critical race theory. And now there is a huge scandal. You know, they elected this woke guy as the president, and now the woke guy has admitted to plagiarizing sermons, which I didn't know was a thing, but now it was not just one or two. It's just lots and lots of sermons that are coming out. There's a website called Capstone Report, and they've been documenting all of this. So today I open up and by the way, this is happening. I'm telling you, this is happening in small town Baptist churches and large mega churches. And now Beth Moore, and I know a lot of our lady listeners love Beth Moore. So Beth Moore has gone full-blown slap-crazy woke. And this morning, Beth Moore, in a series of tweets, has issued a defense of critical race theory. Now, she goes on to these tweets to say that she's not advocating for critical race theory, but that's exactly what's happening. And it's literally splitting churches in half. Now, there is a very, very influential megachurch that is not a Baptist church. It's called McLean Bible Church, right outside of Washington, D.C. And many of our elected leaders go to this church. Many bureaucrats attend this church. And for years, we're talking 10,000 people, 10,000 people and that attend this church. A guy by the name of David Platt was named pastor, and all hell broke loose. It's the church is literally unraveling. And I've been following the stories on social media, but it really centers around this issue of critical race theory. As a matter of fact, one of the ministers at McLean Bible Church said, he's a black guy, says that he's so aggrieved by all of you white people, he wants to torch you. This is coming from a minister of the gospel, and he wants to like set you people on fire if you're of the Caucasian persuasion. WWJD? Come on. I don't think Jesus would torch white people. But I'm not a theologian. Maybe somebody will prove me wrong if that's the case. But the pastor is coming out, this David Platt guy. And by the way, he was a Southern Baptist Convention leader, nearly destroyed the International Missions Board. And I don't want to get into the weeds on all of this. But the guy is basically a woke guy. And he's accusing his opponents, the critics in the pew, of being racist. You see, this is how they do it. This is how they play the game. If you disagree with them, if you want to push back on this idea that white people have to repent for the color of their skin, then you become a racist. And this played out in Naples, Florida, at a very, very popular church, and it literally blew the church wide open. It all but disintegrated. So this is a big deal, and I want to explain why. This is devious stuff. It is nefarious stuff. It is evil stuff. It is straight from the pit of hell, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm talking about critical race theory. And if you hear your preachers talking about racial reconciliation in the pulpit and social justice, then you've got a woke preacher, and you need to deal with that, because this is the end game. The churches of America are the end game. You see, the churches of America are the glue. That's the glue that holds the country together. And I don't know about your denomination. Maybe some of you who are Methodist or Presbyterian or non-denominational, maybe you can help us understand what's happening in other denominations. But I will tell you this. Within the Southern Baptist Convention, there are preachers that are out there saying it is wrong for you to have an American flag in your sanctuary. It is wrong for you to have a day set aside to thank God for America. Many churches do that, including the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. I was invited several years ago to be the speaker on that day. As we thank God for giving us a place where we could have the right to worship however we see fit, to practice our religion in the public marketplace however we see fit. And there are pastors out there. And folks, this is just evil. Evil. They're telling Christians that this idea that America is the most exceptional nation on earth is a sin, that you should not be a patriot if you are a Christian. You say, Todd, what is going on here? What is the ultimate, what is the end game for all of this? Well, I'm going to tell you. Hang tight, hang tight. Here it is. Buckle up, America. They know that this kind of ideology is not of the Bible. It is not of God. It is of Satan himself. And they know if these critical race theorists, these leftist Democrats, if they can somehow infect the church with this evil doctrine of critical race theory, that the churches, what's going to happen to the churches? The churches are going to explode. They're going to split. People are going to leave. And all of a sudden, these massive mega churches that have great influence, these small town county seat Baptist churches that have so much influence are no longer going to be able to influence the culture. They literally are using critical race theory to destroy the church in America. You say, well, Todd, why are they doing that? Why would the critical race theorists like Beth Moore, why are they so bent on destroying the church? Well, I'm going to tell you that. I've got to be patient here. Here we go. Because if they can destroy the church, they can destroy the church's influence on the culture. And if you do not have the church's influence in the culture, you have chaos. But Todd, what about separation of church and state? There's no such thing. There's no such thing. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I contend, based on my readings of our founding fathers' documents and their writings, we are a Christian nation. We are a nation founded on the precepts and the teachings of the Bible. That's what makes us so exceptional. That's what makes this country so great. As a matter of fact, John Adams, our second president, said our Constitution is wholly inadequate for anyone else other than a moral and religious people. So if you take the moral and religious people out of the equation, which, by the way, we've already removed morality, what do you get? You get chaos in the culture, ladies and gentlemen. You have open borders where illegal aliens are flooding into the country. You have little thugs and thuggets and thuglings that are running through our cities, burning down buildings, pillaging and plundering, justifying the looting of stores. You have people out there saying, I don't want to work anymore. I'm going to stay at home and sit on my fat butt, and I'm going to get a check from the government. These are ideas from the pit of hell. But this is what happens when you take God out of the public marketplace, when you marginalize the people of God. And that's why we have to have this conversation about how deadly critical race theory is to the church. And all of these people out there, you people in Tennessee especially, you pay very close attention. We have lots and lots of Baptists here. You folks in Georgia, you know what I'm talking about. But it's very clear to me, you have a lot of woke millennials that have been there. They have been brainwashed in seminaries, and now they're spewing this evil ideology from the pulpits of our churches. And if we do not wake up, this will destroy America. I have hope, yes, but I'm telling you, if we do not address critical race theory within our churches, we will not be able to save this country. So look, we're going to open up the phones here, 844-747-8868. This is our toll-free telephone number, and this is the starting off point for a lot of different stories we've got to get to today. But this one is really a bee in my bonnet, because I'm telling you, a lot of the other conservative talk radio shows at this hour will not even understand why this is an important story. Well, there goes Todd. He's just preaching. Nobody wants to hear it. You know what? No, it's not preaching. I'm trying to explain to you why the country is so screwed up. Everybody thinks it's in Washington, D.C., and that's not it. We got to take a look at what's happening in our church houses. That's where the problem is. 844-747-8868. And if you think I'm wrong, give me a call. We will put your call right to the top of the list here. Our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Anyway, what a mess, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, you better pay attention to what's happening in your church house. Because as I just stirred up a hornet's nest on Twitter, but I will read to you what I just wrote. Critical race theory is a lie from the pit of hell being preached from American pulpits by woke pastors. This sort of satanic teaching must be rooted out of our church houses and American society. And if you don't think that's the case, then you better pay very close attention to this next story. Race relations in America now at a 20-year low. And if you are a Democrat, if you are Barack Hussein Obama, you are celebrating this news. This is from Gallup. For the second consecutive year, U.S. adults' positive ratings of relations between black and white Americans are at their lowest point in more than 20 years. 42% of Americans say relations between the two are very or somewhat good. 57% say they are somewhat or very bad. Now, why do you think that is? Why do you think that race relations are in the toilet in America? Well, I'll tell you, it's critical race theory. They are literally at this very moment teaching your 3-year-old child in preschool that they should be ashamed of the color of their skin because they're white. Now, what do you think that's going to look like in 20 years? Can you imagine that poor little 3-year-old white kid being told for 20 years that they are an evil person, that they should feel bad because of the color of their skin, that they don't deserve anything in life? And you don't think that's happening? That's happening right now, folks. It is. And it's shameful. There are young people. I've spoken to college graduates, some young college graduates, who are very concerned about getting a job because they happen to be white. Some of them here in Memphis, Tennessee. And they see that there are not many opportunities here. They understand the lay of the land. They understand that they're being shoved to the back of the bus. They understand they're soon going to be drinking from a different water fountain than everybody else. Todd, how could you say something like that? That's just offensive. Of course it's offensive. You know why it's offensive? Because critical race theory is offensive, ladies and gentlemen. And we should all be standing up, no matter the color of our skin. Nobody wants to talk about where all of this is heading. But the Gallup poll is a pretty good indicator of where all of this is going. And it's not a good place. They want to cause chaos in the culture. And out of this chaos, when the churches are marginalized, there is no moral common ground in America anymore. Guess what's going to happen? The socialists are not going to be able to walk in. They're going to be rolling their tanks down our streets. With the communists not too far behind, that is the reality of what's going to happen if we don't stand up and put a stop to this. And church deacons, you've got a job to do. You've got to root out this nonsense. And all these preachers that are sharing Beth Moore's tweets, embracing critical race theory, shame on you. I just don't get it, folks. I just do not get it. Hey, we got Christine in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hang tight, Christine. We're coming to you directly after this break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, folks.
If you're like most of us, you're worried about the growing power of big tech and their use of artificial intelligence. They control what we're allowed to say and what we're allowed to see. They're using that power to silence conservative politicians and churches. What's going to happen as their artificial intelligence gains even more power? Well, it's already happening, and you know it. Big tech's AIs are looking over your shoulder right now. And if you say the wrong thing, they can silence you or label you as an extremist. And it's getting worse. We have to ask ourselves, where does it end? Terms of Service, the stunning new Orwellian science fiction novel by AI pioneer Craig W. Stanfill, provides one possible answer. Terms of Service is a fascinating and engaging book that will alert you to these very real dangers to our freedom. Whoever controls the AIs controls the world. Do you care about your freedom? Then read Terms of Service. Go to Amazon.com right now and search for Terms of Service. Or go to www.craigwstanfill.com to learn more.
Now more than ever, ladies and gentlemen, it is so important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And we are so honored to have Patriot Mobile on our team. They not only share our beliefs, they actually do something about it. They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile right now, and you're going to get 50% off your first 2 months, or you're going to get $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment. Either way, you are going to get free Premier activation. And by the way, I did this switching very easy. All you have to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Again, that website, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Todd, welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's say hello to Christine calling us from Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP on this National Hot Dog Day. Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you for asking. And we are so looking forward to meeting all of our great listeners in Hendersonville Wow, just a couple of days now. We'll be there next Friday.
I know, right? We're excited for you to come to little old Hendersonville.
And Christine, I got word. I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but apparently you guys have something called Celtic ice cream.
It's brand new. It's recently opened. I haven't been there yet.
They say it's, well, you know what? They're going to be giving out free ice cream at the book signing, and apparently our friends from Chick-fil-A are going to be over there. In other words, Christine, we're going to have one humdinger of a Friday party.
It sounds like it, but you've got to save room for Hot Dog World.
Now, I am unfamiliar with this place. Tell me about Hot Dog World, Christine.
Jared called in yesterday and was talking about places to go in Hendersonville. Hot Dog World is a must.
Is that
anything
right?
You get off of it is good.
All right. Yes. What do you normally, when Christine goes to Hot Dog World, what's on the order menu?
I normally get a slaw dog is the go-to, but they also have a Carolina burger. It's got slaw and chili on it.
Ooh.
And it's just divine. You can't put it down, and it runs down your arm. That means it's good.
This is a great point. You sound like a veteran of Hot Dog World, Christine.
I am a fourth generation native of Henderson County, so yes.
Is that right? Well, we are. I've driven through Hendersonville a few times over the years, but we're looking forward to being there for a little while. I think we're actually spending the night there, and so we'll be able to walk around downtown and get a good look at the place.
Very good. And Hot Dog World is cash only. They have an ATM there in the building, but they're cash only.
That's
FYI.
That's very helpful. All right, Christine, thank you, and hope to see you at the book signing next week.
I hope to be there. If not, I'm going to get somebody to go and get a book for me.
Awesome. All right. Well, Christine, be sure to say hello, and we're putting Hot Dog World Grace Baker on the official Todd Starnes Show list of best hot dog joints in America. This item from USA Today. USA Today is fact-checking whether or not the HIPAA laws prevent anyone from asking if you are vaccinated. And the USA Today says that businesses have a right to ask if you've been vaccinated. They say businesses can legally ask you if you've gotten the poke in the behind. Now, guess what? The Constitution also gives you the opportunity to lie through your teeth or to tell those people at the business it's none of their business. That's what the Constitution allows us to do. But I'm telling you, folks, we're heading to a very, very weird place with the new Delta variant. As a matter of fact, yesterday they announced here in Memphis, where we broadcast our program, they're going to make every student, every faculty member is going to have to wear a face mask. Now, you just think about that for a moment. You've got these kids, and they're playing outside in the park. Nobody's wearing a mask here. I don't know what it's like in your community, but nobody's wearing a mask except for the liberals. Grace Baker, I decided to test this. I drove through a liberal part of Memphis, that area over by Rhodes College.
Oh,
those guys are like completely full-blown AOC love and woke.
Oh, they've gone over the edge.
And there are a lot of Biden bumper stickers in that part of town. I'm not kidding you, Grace. Every time I would pass, and they're always slow. They go like 5 miles under the speed limit. And I think it's because they're driving those battery-powered cars.
That, or they're just trying to be like Joe.
Joe?
Joe Biden.
Oh, okay.
Slow.
Oh, gotcha.
Like
okay. So I'm driving, and I'm passing the cars that because, you know, again, they're going like 10 miles under the speed limit. And I always look at the driver. Without fail, every person in Memphis who has a Joe Biden bumper sticker is wearing a face mask in their car without anybody else in the car.
That drives me crazy.
It's insane. You people are morons. So anyway, I feel bad for the kids. They go outside and they play. Nobody's wearing a mask. Now they've got to show up at their public school, and they're going to have to wear a mask. If they play sports, they're going to have to wear a mask. Can you imagine having to play tennis or having to play football, and you're having to wear a face burka? It's unbelievable. And this is happening all over America. And it's only going to get worse. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear from the Surgeon General of the United States, cut number 4.
We have seen Los Angeles County and other communities now begin to re-embrace the idea of mask mandates indoors for vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Is this going in a direction that you think the CDC is going to have to also embrace that strategy?
Well, Lester, I think what LA County is doing is something you're going to start seeing in other parts of the country. If cases rise in localities, continue to rise, and if the unvaccinated population remains low. And I think it's very appropriate for localities to make these decisions about putting mitigation measures like masking back in place.
All right. So that was late last night. Now, I want to explain to you again why I don't think this is a big deal. I don't believe the Delta variant is that significant. And I'm going to, it's a very simple explanation. They have not shut down the borders. The Biden administration, they are allowing thousands and thousands of illegal aliens to come into the country without testing them. But the ones who have been tested, well, they're being allowed into the country even though they are testing positive. A 900% increase in COVID positive test at the border. 900%, ladies and gentlemen. Cut number 1.
We can confirm that down in the Rio Grande Valley, there has been a 900% increase in the amount of migrants testing positive for COVID within the first 2 weeks of July. The Border Patrol sector chief reporting down there, more than 40 of his agents have tested positive for COVID, five of them currently hospitalized.
There you go, folks. There you go. If this really was a global pandemic, they would have shut down those borders. They wouldn't have risked it. But that's not what this is all about. This is about you got to put all the puzzle pieces together. It all makes sense when you put the puzzle pieces together. This is about shutting down this country. This is about weakening this country so the socialists can take over. Let's go to Cleveland, Georgia. Mike, listening to us on WDUN. We're going to be in Gainesville next Thursday at Smokehouse Barbecue. Mike, what's going on?
I just left your favorite Chick-fil-A, Todd.
Is that right? Well, I've got a lot of them out there.
I know. Well, it's right here. I live real close to Drew McConnell. I called you once before. I've got three R's I just came up with this CRT graph, and that's revenge, restitution, and reparations. That's what it's all about. And those that are in power and control, that's what they're looking for, and it's to punish the white folks.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the question is, Mike, where does this go? Where do they draw the line when it comes to putting the white man in his place?
Well, I don't know, and that's the bad part. The demarcation line is not very clear, and that's what kind of worries me. You know, usually there's a demarcation line. You were kind of filling in from the spiritual and the religious point of view about, and I know you'd like to go further into that, but I know exactly what we're talking about, that the evil behind it. But, you know, you almost spoke earlier before when you were saying ideology, and it almost sounded like you said odd theology. And that's what it is. It's odd theology.
Mike, I like this. Revenge, restitution, and reparations. Makes sense to me. It truly does.
It's not what you do. It's not the fact that you gain power and control, Todd, you know this. It's what you do with it once you have it. And we're watching what happens when the Democrats and the liberals gain their power and control. They have a goal in mind. And it's not about Trump anymore. It's about us.
It never was about Trump. You're right about it. It was not about Trump. This is about punishing us for not electing Hillary Clinton president. Mike, I've got a skedaddle here. Appreciate the call. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you at the book signing next week. And understand this, before we go to break here, understand this. In Memphis, Tennessee, the majority black city council actually said they did not want Bubba's from Tipton County, which is a predominantly white county. They did not want Bubba from Tipton County patrolling their streets. They did not want white police officers on the Memphis police force. This is what we're talking about, and I appreciate them being honest about it, but that is racist and that is evil. Got to take a break. Senator Ted Cruz coming up next.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible, and best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100, but thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
All All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We have some exciting news for our Philadelphia listeners coming up very soon. We'll tell you more about that in the coming days. Right now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and always an honor to have Senator Ted Cruz hanging out with us. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing terrific. Good to be with you.
Hey, Senator, you know, it's interesting. We've been following the developments down in Cuba, which I know you have a very, very close connection to. And it's just stunning to see, and we're going to talk to a lady who wrote a column about this in the next hour. It's stunning to see how even some of the Never Trumpers are turning a blind eye to what's happening down there, along with the Democrats.
Well, unfortunately, the Democrats want to do everything they can to cover up the incredible protests that are happening in the streets of Cuba. We're seeing horrific oppression. We're seeing the communist regime sending thugs in to arrest, to beat, to torture the protesters. And for the Biden administration and for most of the corrupt corporate media, that's very inconvenient. And it's inconvenient for two reasons. Number one, the Biden administration wants to do the same thing that the Obama administration did, which is pivot towards Cuba and embrace the communist dictatorship. And while they're actively beating people for speaking out, it makes it a little awkward for Joe Biden to hug the dictatorship. Secondly, for people like Bernie Sanders, for people like Elizabeth Warren, for people like AOC, for American socialists, the inconvenient truth is that it is a socialist regime in Cuba that is a dictatorship that is murdering people, that is torturing people, that is repressing people, and that has resulted in crushing poverty. And for American socialists who are arguing that America should become a socialist country, it is thoroughly inconvenient to see the misery and suffering and oppression that the socialist dictatorship in Cuba produces.
Yeah, I was listening to one of these leftist socialists talking the other day about how great Cuba was because everybody was on the same plane. There was so much equity, so much equality in Cuba. Yes, everybody is suffering in Cuba. Everybody.
Well, and I think the person you're talking about was the New York Times author of the 1619 Project. And so she is someone who has had a long career of lying for a living and engaging in revisionist history. And her comment that there's incredible equality in Cuba, you're right. Inadvertently, she was largely correct. Virtually everyone in Cuba is poor and desperate and hungry and starving and living. The Hollywood likes to make it kind of cute that in Cuba they have cars from the 1950s. There's a reason they have cars from the 1950s, because they're the land that time forgot, because communism is such an abject failure. Look, I've got family still in Cuba. A Cuban family, they will get meat once a month. They will wait in line for hours just to get some rice and beans to have bare minimum food. We're hearing from friends of our family. One friend of our family told us that one day last week, all she ate the entire day was a very thin soup. That the people there are starving. So equality is great. Poverty, misery, suffering, and starving for everyone. But you know what the author of the 1619 Project ignored? There's one group for whom there is an equality, and that's the communist dictator. Fidel Castro was a billionaire. Raul Castro is a billionaire. They live like Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates. They live like kings. They oppress the people, and the dictators take everything from the people, and there ain't any equality between the people who are suffering and the dictators who are ordering the firing squads to shoot them.
Senator, we've just got a couple of minutes left here. I want you to weigh in on this big tech censorship. You know, I own a company. In addition to doing this radio show, we have about 30 employees, Starnes Media Group, and we have been banned from LinkedIn. I mean, they've shut us down. We've only because we shared stories, news stories on our LinkedIn page. And I think a lot of people are getting really frustrated and angry that conservatives are simply being silenced because their opinions differ from the leftist in charge of big tech.
T- Todd, you're exactly right. Big tech censorship is, I believe, the single greatest threat to free speech in this country, and it's the single greatest threat to fair and open elections in this country. There are a handful of billionaires in Silicon Valley who have decided they are masters of the universe, and they're getting more and more brazen every day. If they disagree with your views, if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're pro-Israel, if you're pro-life, you are being censored, you are being throttled, you are being shadow banned, and they're not even hiding it. And in recent weeks, we've seen Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats embrace that censorship and say, we are asking the big tech billionaires to silence those who disagree with us. It is an abuse of power. It's corrupt. And I believe it's also unconstitutional. I got to say, one of the interesting things is the Biden White House last week inadvertently made President Trump's lawsuit against the big tech companies much, much stronger.
That's right.
And the reason he did that, so President Trump's lawsuit is against them, alleging they violated the First Amendment by censoring people's political speech. The biggest argument the defendants have is they say, look, we're private companies, and the First Amendment only applies to the government, not to private companies. But the Supreme Court has long had an exception to that, which is if the private companies are working hand-in-hand with the government. What the Supreme Court has said is the government can't use the private company to violate the Constitution. And last week, as the Biden administration basically admitted they're colluding with big tech to silence their political opponents,
yep,
I think President Trump's lawsuit got much, much stronger last week.
All right, Senator, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Big, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on the program. Thank you again.
Bless.
All right, Senator Ted Cruz, folks, got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, folks, I was sort of preoccupied here. I was trying to help my friend Kevin Sorbo, who, by the way, is coming to Memphis. He's doing an event here, and they asked me to MC. Happy to do it. I've known Kevin for a number of years. Good guy. You know, Grace Baker, he's a big movie star back in the day, TV star. Hercules.
Oh, yes.
Hercules. Kevin Sorbo, a fellow believer and does the faith-friendly movies with his wife, Sam Sorbo. And we got to hang out with both of them over at the NRB a couple of weeks ago in Dallas. Just great people. Living in Florida now, by the way. Anyway, He's a little upset. He says, I'm going to read this tweet. He says, I'm not proud of this, but I just made a scene in public for the first time in my life, which you don't want to do if you're a celebrity. You know, you have
they'll
to watch
you.
That stuff. Seriously. I mean, that's why I'm always on my best behavior.
Yep. They'll get you on camera.
As much as possible. You don't want to honk. You don't want to be the guy on the YouTube honking the horn in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
No.
I'm just saying. He says, I walked into Starbucks and they asked me to put a face mask on. I yelled, this is BS. I turned around and walked out. I know what you're thinking. My first mistake was walking into a Starbucks. Yes, Kevin, that was the first mistake.
Oh my gosh.
Can't be doing that. So I recommended Community Coffee, the finest coffee in America, owned by a family in Louisiana. And best of all, unlike Starbucks, it's not bitter.
And they don't pay you to say that. You're just
saying. They do not pay me, but they do send me nice things when I do. But they don't pay me.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. But anyway, you got to try Community Coffee. It's not bitter. And I'm not talking like Starbucks. I'm not talking about the coffee. They're just very, I don't know, very uptight people there at Starbucks.
They haven't had their morning coffee, I think.
Clearly. Yeah, well, anyway, that is what it is. All right. Well, Kevin, hang in there, my friend. And so we will try to help Kevin out there. Hey, I was reading a column the other day on Daily Wire. Written by an incredible writer. I'm one of these guys. I always want to know who the author of the story is. Who wrote the story? Her name is Megan Basham, and she was writing. She's very – it's an observant piece on what's happening down in Cooper, as JFK used to call it. And we just talked about that. We just talked with Senator Ted Cruz about this in the last hour. And she pointed out, Megan points out in her column, and this is the headline over at the Daily Wire, anti-Trump evangelicals are now silent on Biden's Cuba policy. And you know why? I know this is a powerful column that triggered people, because it triggered a bunch of these never-Trump conservative talk radio hosts on Twitter, and they were giving her the what for, and Megan was giving them the what for right back. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line now, right now, is Megan Basham. Megan, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, look, I got to tell you, you held your own. I know folks like Eric Erickson were coming after you and bashing your column here, but that you should wear that as a badge of honor.
I do. You know, they say that's when you know you've hit the mark, right? When people start coming after you.
By the way, you name names here. This is very bold of you, Megan. Beth Moore, you point out that all of these evangelicals who hated Donald Trump and condemned every breath he took are incredibly silent on what's happening in Cuba right now and the Biden administration's handling of the cause. And you mentioned, for example, Beth Moore.
Well, yeah, you know, I felt like it was important to be specific because it feels like we have these debates within the church and we sort of hide behind they or those groups. And we don't really get, you know, really detailed about what we're talking about. And so I just thought it was time to stop hiding behind that and be very specific on what has been said and what's not being said now.
So you mentioned Beth and the fact that she was dubbed an evangelical superstar, and you point out that in spite of the scathing criticism of Trump, we're seeing very little condemnation or criticism of the Biden administration, not only from her, but from others that you mentioned as well.
Well, and that was part of why I wrote the article, because it has felt like the anti-Trump evangelicals, and it's not about Trump, really. It's about, to me, how they have been cozying up to media powers at the Washington Post, at the New York Times, at CNN. And they have been using that to build their own platforms with sort of a left-wing audience. And I do see it as they have been using Trump and policies that they felt like they could vociferously object to build their own profiles within the secular media. So that was what I have been seeing. And that was when I really took notice, because I went, if you really care about the issue of refugees, about the issue of welcoming the stranger, then what better moment would there be to speak out on it than right now, given what's happening in Cuba?
Look, it's a great question.
Right. And to my shock, there was nothing. I mean, I spent a couple of days just digging into everything, looking at the many, many statements. And, you know, Eric Erickson sort of made a snarky comment about, oh, well, just because someone doesn't talk about it on Twitter, well, that's silly, because I didn't just highlight what they talked about on Twitter. I went into op-eds, open letters, full-page ads in the Washington Post, media statements, extensive interviews that all of these people gave, many senior evangelical leaders in a lot of elite institutions, and pointed out that it wasn't just a couple comments on Twitter. I mean, they were everywhere during the Trump administration talking about the border, talking about immigration policies, and they have said almost nothing since Biden took office, and really next to nothing at all about Cuba.
And you also mentioned, and we've talked about this on this radio program, Dr. Russell Moore, who had been the longtime president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and he picked a very public and nasty fight with not just President Trump, but he also smeared the president's supporters. That guy says nothing about Cuba. I get it. He's no longer in that position. J.D. Greer, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, you call him out as well.
Well, yeah, and you know, I don't want to make it like it was personal with these folks.
No.
I like some of them personally. I've met them. I've interviewed them. I like some of them personally, but the hypocrisy was just so glaring that and I don't know. I don't know if it's motivated by they really just don't like Trump. If it's motivated by we want to win the favor of the media. I'm not sure what it's motivated by, but it was just such an obvious difference that it seems like something we need to talk about, because so many of them were so outspoken in, really slandering their Christian brethren by acting like they were somehow less spiritually mature for their pragmatic support of the previous administration.
I think it is a fair point, and I think what you did, Megan, was you exposed the truth of all of this. It really wasn't their objections to Trump. It wasn't really about their religious beliefs. This was about politics, and I can tell you, 15 years at Fox News, and I know these people, and we invited them. When Russ Moore was first named to that position, I offered to help show him around Fox and introduce him to folks. But they weren't interested in that. They wanted to be on the New York Times. They wanted to be at the Washington Post, MSNBC, CNN, and that was my first clue that it was a new day at the ERLC.
Right, and isn't that interesting? And the other thing you kind of have to look at is you go these op-eds, these front page stories, there was so much rending of the garments in a way, figuratively, but not on behalf of what they thought they were doing wrong, not on behalf of their own sins, but on behalf of the sins of the rank and file in small town churches all across America. And that, I think, was what has been so off-putting.
Okay. Speaking of off-putting, Megan, we got to talk about your Twitter feed for just a moment. I saw what you wrote. You did a terrific job. You promoted your upcoming appearance on the program, and you used a Southern phrase, Megan. And you're getting called out on this. Cotton picking.
I did. And let me just say that, I'm the daughter of a cotton picker. So I grew up hearing cotton picking this and cotton picking that. So when I think of kind of putting on Southernisms as a way of saying, gosh darn, that's the phraseology I tend to use because what my father always says.
Well, let me tell you, when I was at Fox in the final couple of months, I got called in after one of the shows and they said, Todd, we're very troubled by some of the language you used. And I said, oh my gosh, what did I say? They said, you can't say cotton picking. And I literally said, well, wait one cotton pick a minute. Why not? What's wrong with it? So I changed it to pea picking and they seem to be okay. But
that's interesting. I had no idea. Who knew that this is now a phrase?
Who?
Right?
It was the fabric of our lives, cotton. I mean, right? I don't know. All right.
Well, I'm the daughter of a cotton farmer, so it comes naturally.
There you go. All right. Well, there you go. Megan, a big fan, and we appreciate your great work, and we'll be looking out for future columns, and we would love to get you back on the show.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Megan Basham, ladies and gentlemen. We have a link to her column at toddstearns.com in the live show blog, but you can also read her work over at The Daily Wire. Grace, can you believe that? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I've never used that phrase before.
There was another editor at Fox, this was many years ago, who actually was concerned. I had written a commentary, and the person was editing my commentary, and they said, Todd, I need to talk to you about your use of the term collard greens.
What?
And yeah, they thought I was being racially offensive by talking about how much I enjoyed collard greens.
Oh my gosh. People got too much time on their hands sometimes.
It's very unfortunate. And since we're on the subject of collard greens, I want to go back to pot liquor. Now,
oh, no.
Grace, we're going to get you hooked up. We've got to find some place that serves pot liquor, and we're going to get you hooked up with some pot liquor.
Am I going to try it live on air?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that would be healthy because mainly you need to eat it like while it's, you need to, it's again, almost like a broth.
It's like an experience.
It is an experience, and you've got to eat it while it's hot, and you've got to have some hot cornbread that, again, is not baked in a pie. It's got to be in a cast iron skillet.
Oh, okay.
So you get that good crust.
Sure.
So, and then you crumble up the cornbread into the pot liquor and you eat it. It's very delicious.
You're making me hungry.
It is a Southern cultural experience. Any of our Southern listeners will be able to explain this better to you than I. But I am fairly new to the pot liquor.
That's like a pretty good description.
I'm doing my best. Can I just ask a question here? And I don't know, Grace Avery, I am torn about something. And maybe we should open up the phone lines on this. Is it bad that I'm not rooting for some of the U.S. Olympic athletes? Does
no,
that make
fine.
Me a bad American?
Avery, that's fine. It's hard to when they like hate our country.
So the women's soccer team yesterday taking a knee before they didn't do it during the national anthem. That's against the law apparently over there with the Olympics, the IOC. Good for them. But they took a knee to pledge their allegiance, their loyalty to Black Lives Matter before the game, and then they got their butts handed to them. The first match they've lost in 44? Is that 44 matches?
44 matches.
Wow. 3-0. The Swedes, and I hate to say this, but I was like, go Sweden.
Oof.
Was that bad?
It's understandable.
And I'm curious if anybody else is rooting for people other than Team USA. But all I can tell you is, if a single American athlete dares to take a knee during the national anthem, they should be immediately yanked off the platform. They should be stripped of their medals. They should be kicked off the team. And they need to tear up their plane ticket and have that ungrateful traitor sent home. That's what I think. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, our good friend Mike Lindell has an incredible offer for all of our great listeners to the Todd Starnes radio program, his incredible new towels. And I love all of the products that Mike has. I own every single one of them except for the doggy bed, but Grace has that, and she says it's very nice. Merlot loves the doggy bed. But you're going to love these towels. By the way, the towels are made with USA cotton, American cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. So here's what you're going to get, and this is the great deal. Normally, this would cost you about a little over $100. Now Mike is going to give you the towels, $39.99. You're going to get a six-piece towel set, and it's, again, soft yet absorbent. And they're the favorite towels I have in the Starnes household. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. You have to enter the promo code Starnes to get the discount. Again, that's MyPillow.com, promo code Starnes. Or if you want to call, you can pick up the phone, 800-839-8506, for these great radio specials. Let's go to the phones, Ohio. Nathan on the live stream. All right, Nathan, am I wrong? Am I wrong to not feel supportive of U.S. women's soccer?
Yes and no, Todd. Yes, or no, you're not wrong for not supporting them. I'm not going to support them if they're going to support what they support. But I'm kind of disappointed and think you were wrong about sending them back here, since they hate America so much and love communism. Book them a one-way flight to China. They'd like it there.
Now, Nathan, that's a fair point. Or better yet, maybe Iran.
That would work, too. Anywhere but here, since they hate it's so bad here.
You know, Nathan, I like the way you think here. And I, you know what? I'm going to revise my idea, and I'm with you. If they disrespect the flag, if they take a knee, we take away their passport, and we can send them to Iran, we can send them to China, or some godforsaken third world hellhole. Works for me.
Any country of their choice, that's for sure.
I love it. Delta's ready when you are. And not the variant, the airline. Nathan, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening to us on our live stream. Always a rowdy crowd over on the Facebook live stream. All right, let's go to Georgia. Kay, listening to us on WDUN. All right, Kay, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hey, Todd, I appreciate you letting me get on. I wanted to tell you about an experience I had last night.
What happened?
I can no longer see to read the screen of my iPhone, and I brought up the Newsmax app, and it was on, and I was listening and doing some work, and all of a sudden Now remember, if you can't see to read, there's something called voice over internet protocol. We call it voice over. Anyway, it interrupted and it kept saying Newsmax.com, Newsmax, and it went on and on, and I couldn't get rid of it.
I see.
I can't help but wonder if somebody didn't want me to hear that program that last night.
Very
interesting.
And I thought
you might be interested in that.
Okay, that
is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm hoping to get to meet you next week.
Oh.
I live near, I don't live that far from Gainesville, but anyway, I'm hoping to get to come, and I definitely want to meet you.
Well, Kay, I want to meet you, and bring that phone, and we'll check it out. Make sure there's nothing nefarious going on. But thank you for at least listening to Newsmax, watching Newsmax. And thank you for listening to this program, too, Kay. Folks, next Thursday, Smokehouse Barbecue, Gainesville, Georgia, we're launching the book tour. We've got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, a little bit of breaking news coming out of Capitol Hill. Now, earlier this week, we told you that Kevin McCarthy had appointed Jim Jordan and Jim Banks, two friends of this program, to the January 6th committee, the select committee to investigate whatever happened on January the 6th. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi just announced that she is rejecting Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. She will not allow those two Republicans to serve on the committee. So this news is breaking out of Washington, and we're efforting a comment from both the lawmakers. Pelosi says, I want to read this statement from Pelosi. With respect to the integrity of the investigation, with an insistence on the truth, and with concern about statements made and actions taken by these members, I must reject the recommendations of Representative Banks and Jordan to the Select Committee. The unprecedented nature of January the 6th demands this unprecedented decision. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congressman Ralph Norman joins us. Congressman, I want to get your reaction to this breaking news. Jim Jordan, Jim Banks, banned from the committee by Nancy Pelosi.
You know, Todd, that doesn't surprise me. Nancy Pelosi, in one word, is a dictator. This is no different than taking Marjorie Taylor Greene off a committee and having the audacity to leave Eric Swalwell, who slept with a Chinese spy, on the Intel committee. And it doesn't surprise me. I was mentioned in caucus. I wasn't in favor of the committee of serving on that committee anyway. This is nothing more than a rehash of trying to get Donald Trump, not impeached, because they've tried that. Nothing has worked with Donald Trump. And here they are, trying to control the committee. I'm sure she wants to play this committee through the midterm elections, because by all accounts we hear, she's scared to death that the public is going to reject these lunatic policies that the Democrats are putting on the American people, and they're not going to stand for it.
No, I don't think they are going to stand for it, Congressman, and I do think the average American is going to see through all of this. But when I'm very curious to know what actually happened on January the 6th, because I don't believe it's the narrative that the Democrats and the mainstream media have been trying to shove down our throats. I mean, what do you say about that?
Well, here's the facts. We had an oversight committee meeting, and you would think the ones who are directly in charge of the Capitol Hill Police is the Speaker and the two Sergeants of Arms, one in the House, one in the Senate. Guess who was not there? The Speaker, the Sergeant, both Sergeants of Arms, and the Capitol Hill Police. The head of the Capitol Hill Police was not there. And so, she controls the committee. She doesn't want the truth. All she wants is, and I want to know the truth on it, because we've all seen the pictures of what happened. We've seen the pictures. Some were just walking in without any stoppage by the Capitol Hill police. Others were breaking glass. It was all wrong. But the bottom line is, I'd love to hear the truth. But she's not going to call the people there that can tell us the truth and to tell us what phone calls were made. The truth is not in her, Todd. And she is a to have the audacity to, you know, be the judge and jury on who goes on a committee that's supposed to be. She keeps saying bipartisanship. Tell me what part of this administration is bipartisan, hasn't been on any issue. And the sad part about it, they've been in office now for 6 months. And the damage they've done to this country. And I know what's going to happen. I'm glad, in fact, you know, I told the whole caucus, and McCarthy was there, I don't in favor of putting anybody on it. If they're going to have a dog and pony show and control their witnesses that are going to give their version, they don't need us. And just let the American people see what the Democrats are all about, which is trying to cast blame on a president who's not even in office anymore.
It's a fair point you raise. There was a report out of BuzzFeed News of all places, and I got to tell you, I was really shocked. They did a really good job breaking down the story about the attempt to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And the point of this column, and I want to bring this right back around to what happened on 1-6, Congressman. BuzzFeed News, according to their investigation, they said that the FBI's involvement in all of this was much bigger than previously known. In other words, the allegations are that the FBI informants and the undercover FBI agents were the ones who actually came up with the idea, and they were basically trying to convert these far right extremists to their cause. And so my question is, if that's the case, I'd like to know how many FBI agents were involved in what happened on January the 6th? That's why we need to get to the bottom of all of this.
We do, and if we just get the truth, but when you hinder the truth and hinder information, I mean, it was well known that they were on alert that it was going to be a problem. Now, what phone calls were made? Why weren't they better prepared? They were undermanned. Who held back who? That's what needs to be answered, but she simply is not going to let that out. And that's her pattern. And, I mean, why, in the oversight meeting that I was a part of, why did she have the people directly responsible? And it's either her narrative that she wants out to the public or no narrative at all, because that's how she operates, and that's the leverage she thinks that she has, which, as Speaker, she's got a lot of power. But in this case, this is a front row seat to the dictatorship that this speaker will use. That really, I can't remember in my lifetime anybody that has done this. Much less, I mean, look at her actions: tearing up the State of the Union speech on national TV. How immature is that? How overbearing is taking a member of Congress who got 75% of the vote, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her people put her in office, and stripping her of the committee?
Congressman, we had originally wanted you to come on and talk about this letter that you guys wrote to the U.S. Olympic Committee, very concerned about athletes who are abusing their platform to spout anti-American rhetoric. Now, yesterday we saw the U.S. women's soccer team. They took a knee in honor of Black Lives Matter. They did not do that during the national anthem, but clearly they're making political statements. How concerned are you about our athletes doing this?
Well, it just shouldn't be tolerated. I mean, Rule 50 of the, in the charter states it, that you can't use that stage, that venue, to voice your political opinion one way or another. This is a sporting event that is a right. It's not a privilege. Now, the athletes do get there by qualifying and by using their talents. But for Americans to do this and to defame the flag, and particularly with what's happening in Cuba, what flag are those who are protesting carrying? The American flag, because it means something. And this ought to be – the reason we wrote the letter is abide by Rule 50. Let everybody up front know the rules. If they can't abide by the rules, we would push for disqualification. And Rule 50 prevents it, not after the fact when they have some slap on the wrist. They shouldn't be able to compete if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, my concern would be that we're getting to a point where you could conceivably have one of these athletes reach the medal, win a medal, and on the medal platform, they either, stomp on the American flag, burn the American flag to make some sort of a political statement. We just can't have that.
No, you can't have it. And look at the consequences of other countries that are under the communist regime, socialism, Cuba, Russia, China. What would happen if they did that? They wouldn't dare do it because they know the consequences. America's the greatest country in the world. These athletes compete, and they take advantage of the educational system paid for by taxpayers. And I would argue the events that they take place in to qualify for the Olympics is funded by the taxpayers of America, and it's the capitalistic system that allows them to do this.
All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We always appreciate your great candor and your patriotic spirit. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
All right, Congressman Ralph Norman from the great state of South Carolina. South Carolina, lovely state, by the way. And he mentioned Eric Swalwell, and I'm going to get to this FBI thing in just a minute from BuzzFeed. But Swalwell, remember the story? He was accused of doing the bang-bang with some Chinese chick named Fang Fang. And now we're getting some more information about all of this. Swalwell, according to receipts filed with the Federal Elections Commission, spent its unbelievable amounts of money. He stayed at the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay in Northern California. And guess how much Grace, by the way, I've stayed at this hotel. It's a beautiful hotel. And you know me, I'm not a big pretentious guy, but I do like to stay at a nice hotel. If I'm going to be out on the road, I want to stay at a nice place.
I mean, especially if you don't have your MyPillow, you got to stay somewhere at least decent.
A Ritz-Carlton pillow comes pretty darn close, but not quite though. It's not the MyPillow.
Close. Yes.
Otherwise, I'm at the Hampton Inn, but you got the free breakfast. But, sure. During China virus, they cut out the free breakfast thing.
That's stupid.
So, yeah. And so what's the point, right? So, anyway, he spent over $21,000 at the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay.
Man, what kind of room service was he ordering?
Well, it's even worse than that because that apparently is with the employee discount. His wife.
Oh, no.
His wife is the hotel's director of transient sales.
He must have been ordering a lot of Chinese food.
The wife's... Clearly, it was an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yes.
His wife's name, by the way, Brittany.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why that cracks me up, but it's
right?
Funny. Her name's Brittany.
I know. I don't either. I don't. What's wrong with me? He also spent nearly $11,000 on car service. He spent more than $6,000 at Sonny's executive sedan.
Oh.
He also likes meat, a lot of meat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're just moving right along here. He spent more than $2,100 at Charlie Palmer Steakhouse. By the way, I will say this. I've been to Charlie Palmer's. I know exactly. I've been at this Charlie Palmer's in Washington. It's right around the corner from the Fox News Bureau. And it's good, but it's a little bit too white tablecloth for me.
I gotcha.
I like a Gallagher's. I used to be a regular at Gallagher's Steakhouse in New York City over there right off of Times Square. And it's one of those joints where it's like a big New York City steakhouse. And you go in and they know you by name. And they really treat
very
you
personal
well.
Personal experience.
Yeah,
Mr.
Starnes, we got your table. And I had my own table. It was pretty nice.
Fancy.
I'm working my way to that over at Houston's here in Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not there yet. But I haven't been home long enough. But after, you go to the same restaurant for, 15 years.
They know your name.
They know your name. So anyway, Charlie Palmer's over $2,000, which is actually on the cheap side at Charlie Palmer's.
No.
It really is expensive. Let me put it this way. You could take a group of people there and probably drop about $1,000.
No.
So, yeah. I used to take the staff out at the old radio show when we were in New York City. We would go to Del Frisco's, and, there'd be seven or eight people, you could rack up a pretty high tab.
I can't even imagine.
Baptist martinis are expensive.
Yeah.
He also spent $232.31 at another steakhouse.
He really likes steak.
Oh, and he also likes booze. So he had his booze delivered, over nearly $600 worth of booze. That's a lot of booze. Between April and June, that's like AA booze right there. I don't want to judge.
I wasn't going to say it, but...
All that to say, what the hell? Why is this not wall-to-wall news? You know, if this had been a Republican lawmaker, they would have been calling for the guy's resignation.
Yes.
I mean, he was hooking up. He was doing the, I don't know, the popo platter with Miss Fang Fang, who was the Chinese intelligence agent. And there have been no consequences. Meanwhile, you've got Pelosi out there banning Jim Jordan and Jim Banks from the January 6th committee. It makes absolutely no sense at all. And somebody needs to hold this guy accountable. I want to know what kind of secrets this guy was sharing in the bed he shared with Miss Hong Kong Phooey. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, he also spent, what, $1,500 at the Watergate Hotel. Does this guy not have an apartment? Come on, dude. Go down to the Motel 6. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know, Grace Baker, I was once again reminded of how beautiful conservative women are. On this radio program, there's really is a war on women in America. But here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show, we respect and revere women, and we put them up on a pedestal.
Oh yeah, I mean, we got the best looking crowd in talk radio, right?
We have, yes, and you know what it is? I've been trying to analyze this, and I'm working on a new book. Because my publisher is
about
very demanding.
Women?
Well, there's a chapter in this about why conservative women are so beautiful.
Oh.
And I think it's not only because I think ultimately the beauty starts from within.
I was going to say, I think they're just happier.
They're happier, right? They're happier. They know who they are. They know their pronouns.
They're not screeching and yelling.
Right, exactly. And so we love conservative women on this radio show.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to get Avery married. That if nothing else, the final show of the Todd Starnes Radio program will be Avery getting married. We'll broadcast. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll broadcast the wedding.
We'll broadcast the wedding. Our work here is done, America. Goodbye.
Till death do us part.
That'd be a great send off. Great send off.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's go to the phones. Gainesville, Georgia. Ed, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Ed. What's going on?
Doing great, Todd. I hope you're doing well, my friend.
Ed, I'm doing dandy. Thank you for asking.
All they make it better, some sweet tea from Longstreet. Be the only thing better today.
All right, now you're talking.
I tell you, these athletes who are wanting to take a knee, whether it be Olympic athletes, pro athletes, whatever, but this Olympic athletes wanting to take the knee has really got my dander stirred. And my thought on this is simply this. If they can't go over there and represent the country that they're there to represent, the good old USA, I say put them on a plane, bring every one of them back, every single team. I don't care what they're there representing, what sport, what athletic event they're in. Bring every one of them home, put their butt back here in the States and say, hey, until you can act like an adult, go over there and not have a political or express a political opinion, we're going to sit the whole daggum team down. Nobody is going to go represent us. We got to miss the Olympics in 4 more years. We're not going. We're going to act like adults. We're going to go over there and respect the flag and respect the country.
Ed, Yeah, I like the way you think. We're coming up on a break here, Ed. Otherwise, we would hang out with you a little bit more. I like what Ed says. What say you, America? What should we do with these disrespectful athletes on the U.S. Olympic team? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. Ed says, bring them all home. What say you, America? We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. So welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Good to have you with us. And to pick up on the conversation we were having in the last hour, members of the U.S. women's soccer team taking a knee to Black Lives Matter, or for Black Lives Matter, ended up losing to the Swedes 3-0 in the opening soccer match of the U.S. of the Olympics, and it's the first time they've lost in what 44 matches, is my understanding. And a lot of people that are Americans were actually rooting for the Swedes. And there are grave concerns that many Republican lawmakers have up on Capitol Hill about these U.S. Olympic athletes wearing the flag of our nation, standing up and representing our nation, taking a knee and disrespecting our country and spewing anti-American rhetoric on the metal platforms. And the question is, what do we need to do with these renegade athletes? Should they be sent home? Should they be removed from the Olympic team? Or should they be allowed to say their piece? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The other breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C., Nancy Pelosi rejecting Jim Jordan and Jim Banks from the January 6th committee. One Republican lawmaker, Kelly Armstrong, calls out Pelosi, says it's BS. And she didn't say BS. She was pretty fired up over that. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from East Tennessee, the Chattanooga area. Our good friend Congressman Chuck Fleischman. Congressman, I want to get your reaction to this breaking news out of Washington.
Well, Todd, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. First and foremost, I voted against this committee. This committee, in my view, was a sham to begin with. It was set up as a political witch hunt. There are multiple other investigations going on with law enforcement agencies in regard to January 6th. This was just a Pelosi trick to try to keep this going because the Democratic agenda on several fronts is falling flat on its face, is hurting the American economy, is hurting the American people, and she's just trying to keep this going. So I would not have dignified this committee. I voted against it. I am glad, finally glad, that Leader McCarthy has pulled all of his members after this latest Pelosi charade from this. It's high time we stand up to the radical left and say enough is enough, and we're going to pull our folks and go home.
You know, Congressman, there was a report out of BuzzFeed yesterday and a fairly in-depth investigation they did into the allegations that a group of nut jobs were trying to kidnap Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer. And it turned out that the FBI was far more involved in the plotting, the planning, the organization of this than they led us to believe. And the argument from a lot of the defendants in this case is that, you know what, this was entrapment, that the FBI basically created the idea and these guys tagged along, whatever. My issue is when it comes to 1-6, if the FBI was that involved in the Michigan situation, I'm wondering how involved the FBI was in what happened on 1-6. And if nothing else, I think the American people are due an explanation of what's going on inside the nation's capital and the deep state.
Well, of course, on January 6th, I was here in Washington. Actually, there was a double bomb threat going on during the course, actually, which preceded this. That has gotten lost in a lot of that. But I'm very, very concerned, first and foremost, that Nancy Pelosi is using this event once again to basically, as a political tool. We have several ongoing investigations. We want the truth. They're going on by government agencies, law enforcement agencies. Let's see what comes out of this. But we just don't need her political witch hunt, her hand-picked committee to go through and keep this thing alive. And guess what? I bet you their report will come out right on the eve of the midterm elections. You watch.
Oh, I have no doubt about that, Congressman. But I'm with you. I want an investigation. And you're right. There are investigations underway. I think we are all due the truth here. I don't believe the narrative that's been coming out of the media or the Democrats or the Never Trump Republicans. And I think it's only fair for the country that we get the unvarnished truth of what really happened on that day.
Yes. Well, I can certainly tell you this. There was an outreach prior to January 6th for more troops to Washington, D.C., to the National Guard, apparently also to the Capitol Police, who sadly were ill-prepared for this event. So, yes, let's get the facts out, but do not in any way dignify Nancy Pelosi's committee, handpicked committee, as a substitute for their totally failed agenda. I mean, this is a majority in the House, in the Senate, in the White House that is failing the American people at proportions that are staggering.
Well said, Congressman Chuck Fleischman on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, another big story we're following, a number of your colleagues sending a letter to the U.S. Olympic Committee, very alarmed at the anti-American rhetoric coming out of these athletes who are supposed to represent America. What do you think we ought to do with these athletes if, in fact, they do disrespect our country at the Olympic Games?
This saddens me. I don't have an answer for your question, but let me say this. The United States of America is the greatest nation that has ever been. If you represent the United States of America, you should do that proudly. You should do that as a patriot. And this is not about race. This is not about gender. This is not about anything other than, again, a radical agenda that has basically gotten into American politics and sadly needs to be denounced. Candidly, I want all Americans, regardless of race, regardless of gender, creed, you name it, to have access to the Olympics and be able to play. But when you stand for the United States and play for the United States, you better be all in for the United States. That means for our national anthem. That means for our nation. Because when we stand up to the rest of the world, we are the best, and we need to be proud of that.
Congressman, well said. We're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you weighing in on the breaking news of the afternoon. And I think it was the right call for Congressman McCarthy, the leader of the Republicans, to do what he did. God bless you, sir.
Todd, thank you. Always a pleasure. Let's stand up for the great conservative principles that have made this country good and strong. I know your listeners do. We cannot give up this fight. The fate of our nation depends on it.
Well said. Well said. Congressman Chuck Fleischman from the Volunteer State, ladies and gentlemen. Before we go to the phones, Max in Maine wants to weigh in on what to do with these athletes. I want to play some audio for you. David Chipman is Biden's pick to head up ATF. Now, before you hear this audio, you need to understand something. The Joe Biden, we thought, like, creepy Uncle Joe who likes to sniff hair and, you know, invite children to fondle his leg hair. Yeah, that's no. This guy is not only creepy; he is a far leftist, and we know that because of people like David Chipman. Let's take a listen.
In their mind, they might be confident. They might think that they're diehard, ready to go. But unfortunately, they're more like Tiger King, and they're putting themselves and their families in danger. And so what I would suggest is for those people who were first-time gun owners, if they did go out and buy a gun, I would secure that gun locked and unloaded and hide it behind the cans of tuna and beef jerky that you've stored in a cabinet and, you know, only bring that out if the zombies start to appear.
So this guy is Biden's pick to head up ATF. This is what he had to say about first-time gun owners. He compared all of you first-time gun owners to people that are prepping for a zombie apocalypse. Just so you understand the lay of the land here with these people. All right, let's go to the phones. Max, listening to us on WLOB, the Big Lobster. That's in the beautiful state of Maine. All right, Max, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I am a Marine veteran, sir. I served 16 years active duty, several tours overseas. I was injured in Afghanistan 2013 while attached to U.S. Army dust-off flying medical evacuations in northern Helmand Province. I really wish that these athletes understood the weight that they carry on their shoulders. They represent an entire nation, not one race, not one color. Never in my military career, sir, did I ever care about the color of the person to the left or the right of me, their sexual orientation. They were my brothers and sisters. And I think that we need to get more athletes out there that understand that and respect that and represent that. These athletes are extremely selfish individuals, and I just feel that maybe if they can't represent the country that sends them there, then they should be stripped of their titles.
Max, I think that by and large, most Americans feel the same way you do. What you just said, I think most Americans live by that ideology. Black, white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, we've got a lot of folks in the media. We've got a lot of folks in the Democrat Party, the folks in charge of running this country, and they want to divide us. And they are being successful on the college level and in the high school level. Younger Americans are really susceptible to all of this stuff, and it's very dangerous, this CRT ideology. I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Max, as a military veteran, on what's been happening with the military and the CRT and woke ideology, the transgender teachings that are now infiltrating the ranks of the military.
Well, yes, sir. You know, so I was a non-commissioned officer, staff NCO in the Marine Corps, and I served under both George Bush Jr. and under the Obama administration. And I would say, sir, that there was a dramatic change in policies that definitely got more driven towards the fact of bringing it out to the limelight of people's sexual orientations, personal decisions that they make, race, ethnicity. And this started many years ago, sir. And I've been retired since 2018. But it has only, in my honest opinion, sir, and I'm no expert, but my honest opinion has only diminished our defensive capabilities and our ability to just be a team, to be one unit, one fight, and really focus on the real mission at hand, which is protecting this great nation.
Well said. And, Max, we're going to have to take a break. I want to say thank you for serving our country. You sacrificed, and we are thankful for that, and we honor your service on this radio program. God bless you, and don't be a stranger. Give us a call back one of these days.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right. God bless America. Yes, sir. Great American patriot right there, folks. That's what those sound like, by the way. Max, right there from the beautiful state of Maine, Ray Richardson country. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. What would you do to these athletes that are disrespecting America on the U.S. Olympic team? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes. We'll be right back.
All I can tell you is the Starnes family has been very happy since I started ordering meat from GoodRanchers.com. That's because their product is 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, you're not only getting some incredibly delicious, tasty, juicy meat, you're also supporting American farms. My friends over at Good Ranchers have traveled all over America. They've met with the farmers who raise the livestock just to make sure the product they're sending to your table is the very best. The steaks, by the way, USD prime choice, unbelievably tasty. The chicken, 100% natural, no antibiotics, no hormones, better than organic. All you need to do to get plugged in on this, you can do it one of two ways. First of all, you can just buy some steak, or you can subscribe and get a regular rotation of meat coming to your mailbox. Wow, that sounds like fun. This is why I love America. I mean, where else but America can you get meat delivered to you? Unbelievable. If you subscribe to any of the GoodRanchers.com packages, you're going to save 20% with each purchase, letting you get steakhouse quality for, get this, less than $5 a meal. So it's very affordable for American families. So here's what you need to do. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Todd, and you've got to use my name as the promo code, Todd, T-O-D-D. They're going to give you $20 off. You're going to get free express shipping. In other words, you're going to be dining on steak tomorrow if you order today. That's GoodRanchers.com/Todd, or use the promo code STARNS. So I'm curious about something. How many of you fine American people out there have a Netflix subscription? Better yet, how many of you have canceled your Netflix subscription? We have a story up on the website, toddstarnes.com. According to the latest numbers, nearly 500,000 Americans unsubscribed from Netflix. Grace, are you a big Netflix person?
I'm not going to lie, yes.
And Avery, Avery's got to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I have a subscription to Netflix, too.
There's just those few shows on there, right? And then they just put the whole Twilight saga back on there.
Oh.
It's very exciting. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I'm just thrilled over here.
What? Try to keep the excitement down there. What is Twilight? Is that about the end of times or something?
No, it's about the vampires.
No.
Oh, yeah. One of those vampire things. Mm-hmm. All right, I see. Well, I'm curious because there are a lot of other shows that have caused a lot of controversy. You know, Barack and Michelle Obama are churning out all sorts of propaganda.
Netflix is totally hit or miss. And they've gone totally woke.
Can I say,
no doubt.
And what's worse, Amazon Prime, except for one or two shows.
Their shows stink, I feel.
It's horrible.
Like. They're just not any good.
Yeah.
There's like a couple, like you said, and that's it.
That's about it.
And they canceled the good ones.
I like the, I know a lot of people did not like the series, but the Jack Ryan, the revival of the Jack Ryan series.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really good.
My dad likes that as well.
Well, see, your dad's got good taste in shows. But it's a good action-adventure flick. You know, I like that.
I think HBO Max is the best right now.
Yeah.
HBO Max is pretty solid.
You know, the problem here is, you know, people are giving up cable. You know, they're cutting the cord. But I think they're spending more money now on all of these specialty channels.
Just pick one or two, and that's it.
But I am curious to hear from somebody. Maybe if you did unsubscribe from Netflix, why? I think it's because they've gone woke. And I think moms and dads are sick of it.
It's trash.
They would rather their kids watch, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes.
The Andy Griffith Show.
The old school,
so good.
Clifford.
Yep. The Brady Bunch.
Andy Griffith.
The Jetsons.
Gilligan's Island.
Oh, I love Gilligan's Island. Oh, what about Beverly Hillbillies and Petticoat Junction? All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Nancy Pelosi's not going to put me on that committee. But that didn't stop me from posting the question I would have asked on Twitter, at Todd Starnes, by the way, if you want to follow us there on Twitter. Here's the question I was going to ask. This was the question for Pelosi and the committee investigators. I want to know how many FBI agents were involved in the planning and execution of what happened at the U.S. Capitol. I think that's a pretty straightforward question. I'd also be curious to know why Nancy Pelosi and other leaders on Capitol Hill, when told that there could be trouble on 1-6, decided not to take any measures to secure or to protect the Capitol building. But that's just me. Those are some of the questions I have. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko hanging out. You know, Congresswoman, it's been a long time.
I know. We need to talk to each other more often.
You know, I want to get you and Kat Kamick on the same. We should have like we should have like multiple lines here. I suspect that would be a great radio conversation.
Oh, that would be fun. We're a heck of a fighting women over here.
I love it.
I'm sitting, if you can picture this, I'm sitting in an old-fashioned phone booth right off the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives talking to you right now.
Is that
so
right?
Your listeners are getting an inside peek. They have all these phone booths, and they're all filled up with Congress members trying to talk on their phone privately.
Well, we've been following the breaking news, and I want to give folks an update here. So just a little while ago, Nancy Pelosi booted Jim Banks and Jim Jordan from the 1-6 committee. In response to that, Kevin McCarthy just announced he's pulling all of the Republicans off of the committee. Congresswoman, I'd like to get your comments on these developments.
Well, Pelosi continues her dictatorship over here. I mean, this is like a one-woman rule over here, and all norms, all traditions, all history is out the window. This woman does whatever she wants and whenever she wants. And I'm glad that McCarthy said, you know, basically, I better not say it, but on nothing but fought back. Let's put it that way. That's a polite way of saying, you know, Nancy, I don't think we're going to go along with what you're saying.
Good. Well, I understand that. And again, there are investigations underway. So this is, you know, we will eventually find out what happened. But I think the narrative the Democrats and the media are trying to shove down our throats about what happened is not accurate.
Well, you know, before January 6th, I knew that something was going to happen. Now, I did assume that the Capitol Police and law enforcement would protect the Capitol. I never would have thought the Capitol would have been breached because I naively believed that would be protected and there'd be enough law enforcement. But when you saw those pictures and there's, you know, only a few Capitol Police officers against thousands of people, it was totally ill-prepared. Somebody is negligent here because, listen, I'm not a law enforcement person. I wasn't privy to FBI things. And I knew something was going to happen. In fact, I had asked my office to get food for our staff and prepare our staff to hunker down if they had to. And that was prior to January 6th, just because I knew there was hundreds of thousands of people coming. We were getting all kinds of calls from people that believed something would happen that couldn't happen. And I thought there was going to be a problem. And anybody that's logically thinking thought they should be prepared and certainly have law enforcement there. I hope we get to the bottom of it.
Well, I do, too. And again, you were prepared. And clearly, we do know that Pelosi and Schumer were aware. They were alerted. And yet nothing happened. They didn't take any preventative measures. And that needs to be dealt with. And we need to get to the bottom of that. But this is nothing more than partisan politics. And I think this is going to help the Republicans as we move into 2022.
I think Pelosi made a fatal mistake here by, you know, rejecting Jim Jordan and Jim Banks on this committee. It shows that she's afraid of what they're going to say. You know, she's afraid of what they're going to reveal about what she did or didn't do and, why they weren't prepared. You know, it's just unimaginable to me, quite frankly, that they were able to breach the Capitol. And we saw different reports that they just rejected some of the help that they were offered. And this is a catastrophe. Unfortunately, Pelosi's in charge over here. So it's like a dictatorship here, and it's really sad. It's a sad state of affairs.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, another story we've been following, Republican lawmakers sending a letter to the Olympic Committee, very concerned about these anti-American athletes. What do you think we ought to do with these kids that are disrespecting America during the Olympics?
They shouldn't be able to compete in the Olympics. I mean, come on. We're sending them there as representatives from America, and they're turning their back on the American flag, or they're saying, oh, I can't wait to win so I can go up on the podium and burn an American flag. This is outrageous, and that's why I wrote a letter, joined on two different letters, to the Olympic Committee saying, listen, if you guys aren't going to follow your own rules, which prohibits this kind of behavior, then you should be out. And we'll replace your committee with another committee. I mean, this is outrageous. It's time for Americans to stand up. America first. You know, no more of this Biden's border crisis where he's putting illegal immigrants in priority over Americans. He's putting Putin's oil over American jobs. This is craziness going on here down in the U.S. Capitol. And I can't wait to Republicans get back in the majority so we can actually have the votes to stop some of this stuff.
I'm with you. Congresswoman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good to hear from you, and thanks for fighting the good fight up there.
I'm always fighting. But you know what? We need the majority back so we can actually win.
Well
so
said.
We will.
Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Arizona. She is a fighter. That would be fun radio, getting Lesko and Kamik on together. That on the phones. That would be a lot of fun.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Clearly, Grace Baker, we do not have a hot dog eating audience.
I know. It kind of like we had a couple people call in about it and then they just stopped.
Yes, it is what it is.
That's okay. We got quality over quantity, though.
Oh, absolutely. So give us and you've got the list compiled here.
Yes. I have one called the Doghouse that we've talked about. Now, people, and that's in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And the people from Hendersonville, I had a couple people call in and say that is not the best place to get a hot dog in Hendersonville. They recommended Hot Dog World.
Oh, hot dog. Oh, wow. So we have multiple hot dog joints in one town.
Yes.
There's a hot dog place in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I cannot remember the name of this place, but when I'm at Liberty University, I try to go there. And so I went there once. Everybody at Liberty said, you got to go to this place. And so I got directions. It wasn't too far from the hotel. And if you've been to Lynchburg, I don't know how they did this. They built the entire city on a mountainside.
That's impressive.
So it's very impressive. But if you're like at, say, the bottom of the mountain, and you've got to get up to the next street, you better be in good shape.
I mean, you got to work off those hot dogs. That's what they were thinking.
Well, I get over to the hot dog joint, and it's a small place. It's a lot of fun, a lot of character, and it's not a dive hot dog joint, but it's sort of, it's got the vibe, but it's really not a dive hot dog joint. And get up there, order the hot dogs, delicious hot dogs, but you end up smelling like the hot dog place.
Oh,
it's one of those, you know what I mean. It's like when you go to a barbecue joint.
I was about to say the smokehouse.
The smokehouse or something, you're going to end up smelling like
that. Sure.
You know, whatever.
I have an honorable mention after yours.
So I get back to the hotel. Hold that thought. I get back to the hotel, and I'm getting a bottle of water, and I go up to the front clerk there, and it's the fancy hotel. It's the Virginian Hotel, beautiful hotel, little boutique hotel in downtown. And the guy looks at me and he goes, oh, you've been to that hot dog joint. You can smell. I mean, it's
smell you a mile away.
I'm busted.
My honorable mention, I don't know if this technically counts. Have you had a Pronto Pup in Memphis.
Is that like a corn dog?
It is a corn dog. That's why I didn't know if it technically qualified.
Well, what's it? What is the difference between a pronto pup and a corn dog, though?
Well, the pronto pups are huge. Like, we're talking they can be up to like a foot long. It's on a stick, obviously. And the real secret is they've got this really great mustard that they literally brush on the corn dog. And I don't know what it is about them, but they're at all the Memphis sporting events. They're so, so good.
You see, I was at an event and had a corn dog that was not good. And I think the oil has to be fresh.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's not going to taste
well. You
good.
Won't have a problem with these. These are the best. It's the best hot or corn dog I've ever had.
Well, you know, the big state fairs are coming back hopefully this year. And that's a big thing, is all of the food, yep, on the fairway.
Funnel,
you know,
cakes. Mm-hmm. Why do we talk about food so much
here? I don't know, because it's lunchtime. This is a lunchtime radio show.
But we have to talk while other people eat.
Except for our folks like over on the West Coast with the Salem crowd, and it's brunch. It's a brunch show for those guys.
Brunch is great.
Brunch is delicious. You know, I had never had brunch until I moved to New York City, and that's like a thing.
Yes, when I visited New York City, there were a ton of brunch places.
I you know, my one thing about New York, and you're going to laugh at this, I didn't have many pet peeves, but the one thing I refuse to do, the one thing that just completely aggravates me, is having to stand in line.
Wow.
I don't know why that it's just a bee in my bonnet.
One of those. You don't want to wait.
Do not want to wait.
Because it's New York. It's boom, 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 fast paced.
But Saturdays at brunch, you know, you're going to be waiting, you know, 45 minutes to an hour for a table. And I've got a little place I would always go to over in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, where I lived. Beautiful little and just amazing food, good people. One of the waiters there, what was the name of that? The Stone Park? The Stone Park Inn. One of the waiters, Grace, he had a side gig. He made his own hot sauce.
Ooh.
And it was pretty darn good. So the restaurant let him, I guess they either bought it's the Stone Park Cafe. You should Google this. It's on Fifth Avenue.
Now.
If you're ever on vacation in New York City, which you really shouldn't be, but God forbid if you are, head over to Park Slope in Brooklyn and go to the Stone Park Cafe, and they have incredible food and just a great vibe. You know who I saw there once? Well, Tom Hanks and Danny DeVito and his wife, ex-wife, they used to all go there.
Wow.
And but just regular folks. It's not like it was a big, huge production, because nobody cares if you're a celebrity in New York.
This food looks good. I'm reading the menu right now.
The best omelet I've ever had.
Mm.
And they do biscuits, shockingly. But they actually knew how to do a biscuit.
They're doing better than the Peabody Memphis down here right now.
Don't get me started. As a matter of fact, there's a story, by the way, about the Peabody. If you missed that story, I'm very upset. I went to have breakfast at the Peabody Hotel in Memphis, and they're not serving biscuits. The Grand Hotel of the South is not serving biscuits.
Yeah, that's really like a shame.
Avery, that's like going to a Jewish deli and not serving a bagel.
Yeah, I know, for real.
I mean, it's not kosher.
Just give me a biscuit, man. That's all I want.
So there's a story in the news today about how the Peabody Hotel is only at 50% occupancy. And I think it's because of the biscuits.
Okay. That's, yeah.
Anyway,
I could see that. You know.
So all that to say, it's a great little place, Stone Park Cafe. So if you're, one of the other people that I used to run into, you guys may not remember this TV show, The King of Queens.
Oh yeah, with Kevin James.
Kevin James,
no clue.
And ex Scientology chick, Lisa, what's her face? And yeah.
I believe she got out of Scientology.
That's why I said ex. She's the ex Scientology chick. So, but anyway, there was a guy named Deacon, the big tall black dude on the show.
Yeah.
Actually, he was the only black guy on the show.
Yes, he was.
So anyway, he lived in my neighborhood, and he would always come down, and the guy was just we would always end up sitting across from each other. I don't know how that happened, but they had a little outdoor cafe. I'd get the newspaper, bring a book, and that was my downtime on Sundays after church, just hanging out at the Stone Park Cafe.
Instead of a nap, that's what you did.
That was my jam back in the day. I love that neighborhood. It was a lot of fun.
Going back to hot dogs, I've got another recommendation from a caller.
Really?
Randy in North Carolina says you got to go to the Hot Diggity Dog in Fayetteville.
I love that name.
The Hot Diggity Dog.
Yep. I looked it up. It looks like pretty great. It has a dog as a mascot. Big surprise. And that's great.
All right. So I'm glad you're looking these places up.
Yeah. I mean, they could be sending me on a wild goose chase for all I know.
So we've gotten four now.
Oh, I have one more, actually.
Oh.
I think there's this place really close to where I grew up.
It's Caliche? Called,
no. It's called Dairy Spot. And that's spelled D-A-R-I.
Dairy?
So they use incorrect grammar?
I mean, it's in the South. I
guess you could say, or it could be misspelled. It could be a dairy heir. Never mind.
Okay, it is a legit. He's not kidding with this. It is real.
Oh, it's called Dairy. What's it called now? Dairy Spot.
Dairy Spot, but it's D-A-R-I.
Is it? What, is the owner Dairy, like D-A-R-I? Or they're
I have no idea who owns the place.
Well, Avery, if you're going to make a suggestion, you need to get your
history. You've got to be well-versed.
I just eat at the place. I don't look it up in the textbooks.
By the way, Norway's beach handball team, changing subjects here, they're very upset. They have been fined because they refused to wear bikinis. So the handball team apparently was required to wear bikinis because they're on the beach. And instead, they wanted to wear pants or something.
They wanted to wear, like, biker shorts. And I saw what the bottoms were they were having to wear before. I mean, these things were thongs. They look like thongs. My mama wouldn't let me walk out of the house like that.
Well, okay.
So I say good for them.
All right. Well, look, I don't judge. I'm just sharing the news. That's what we do here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We share the news. All right. Well, there you go. Our hot dog list, folks. That's kind of pathetic. But great choices. And we are going to make our way through the hot dogs of Hendersonville, North Carolina. Can't wait. All right. A lot of fun here, folks. Hey, by the way, ToddStarnes.com. Order a copy of the new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Be good, America.